WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
One grim reality of the AIDS epidemic is that it's more likely for a woman to be infected by a man than for a man to be infected by a woman. As we all know, this fact has resulted in many new practices and some new devices. Writer Elizabeth Kay has some thoughts about the newest of them, the female condom. Listener discretion is advised.
The female condom seems like a contradiction. Men are supposed to wear the condoms, but they often don't, and I guess it does make sense for the more vulnerable partner to be most vigilant about protection. Which brings us to the female condom, the charmingly named Reality Vaginal Pouch. It's a name certain to appeal to every woman who harbors the secret wish that she had been born a marsupial. The condom is intended for moments when a woman would like to look her best, but unfortunately it's far from pretty. Its manufacturer describes it as, and I quote, a soft, loose-fitting polyurethane sheath and two polyurethane rings. One ring anchors the device inside the woman. The other ring dangles from her vagina, and there it hangs, an unexpected bit of polyurethane in an oval shape that's kind of reminiscent of the gaping mouth in that Edward Munch painting, The Scream. The reality condom is not merely gross and unsightly, however. It also squeaks. Couples who use it describe certain noises which could lead you to think you have a third party in bed with you, if, that is, you are the sort of person who would call a mouse a third party. So, while the reality is pretty much the opposite of the chastity belt, it may produce the same result. On a practical note, you should know that the reality condom has a failure rate that the FDA estimates at around 26%, that it can be used only once, and that it costs $2.25, which is three times the price of a male condom. And, in a pun you may assume to be wholly unintended, it provides what its manufacturer calls broad coverage. The female condom strikes me as an interesting coda to the year of the woman, which was so hyped and so celebrated in a society that has never had even the dimmest necessity for decreeing the year of the man. And we all saw how quickly the year of the woman turned into the year of the waif, when fashion models appear to be underage and stunned on the head by something heavy. The fact is, the more women mature, and the more mature women there are, the more we hear about Woody and Joey Buttafuoco and all those other so-called adults who feel safest with little girls. Little girls are malleable and dependent. The mature woman takes care of herself, and now you can always recognize her, in certain circumstances at least, because she is the one with that cute little ring between her legs. I don't know how you feel about it, but for me, those early days of the sexual revolution that once seemed so bawdy now seem quaint and innocent. There was no fear of disease. You didn't have to get pregnant. All there was the psychic damage we were all sure we were hip enough to avoid. I guess they were wild times, and yet memory cast them as oddly touching. It's always touching to recall a time that is innocent in the genuine sense, that is, a time when you can enjoy the delusion that there will be no price to pay. But today, old values are up for scrutiny or up for sale, and the female condom is here to remind us that the biblical equation of sex and death has been recycled into one of the primary concerns of the late 20th century. And beyond any aesthetic revulsion, distaste for that condom hints, I'm pretty sure, at a deep and aching nostalgia for a sweeter life, a life whose fundamentals include the ability to equate abandon with passion, to equate trust with love. And finally, the word on the reality condom is both good and bad. Women can be sexy and free. They can be relatively safe from disease. That is the good news. The bad news is that they can be only one of these things at a time.
Elizabeth Kay is a freelance writer based in New York. She contributes to the New York Times and Esquire.